Hello, this is Owen McEwen. I'm a voice actor from New Jersey, USA. And whenever I feel like listening to an audio drama production podcast, I simply tune into the audio drama production podcast.
Hello, welcome to the audio drama production podcast. My name's Robert and I'm with Matthew as usual.
Good day, sirs and siresses. We're outside again. We like recording outside. It's very sunny in Scotland, uncharacteristically. We're in an area, Robert, where it doesn't look like the grass has been cut for a number of years, and hopefully that won't change today.
Yeah, we're surrounded by big long grass, nettles, trees, and the hum of a motorway nearby, but not too near, so we're doing well.
Yeah, and speaking of the hum of a motorway, we're going back to basics today with this episode, looking at some of the nuts and bolts, and this is particularly aimed towards you if you're just starting out in your production journey, you know, if you're a bit of a newbie producer, or you've been at it a few months and you're just looking to start learning about the various aspects of production. And this is quite important, this subject, the subject of volume and of dialogue, because Robert, certainly in the past when we started out, we struggled a lot with this, didn't we? And it's quite evident when you listen back to some of our first episodes.
Yeah, it's easy to think that you always want everything to be as loud as possible to make sure that people can hear it, you know, the final product, and you make everything as loud as possible, including sound effects and whatever else. And you would think zero on the old scale would be the place to start, certainly with Adobe Audition, but that's not the case.
Well, let's just look at we talk about the decibel scale in sound production and audio production. The decibel scale can be used to measure the volume of your audio. So on your editing software, on your DAW, when you load up your waveform, you'll see a set of numbers down the side, probably on the right-hand side, zero being the top. Now, there's a lot of theories and a lot of maths and things like that when you delve into the nuts and bolts of the decibel system, but we're going to try and keep it really simple here. There's plenty of time for learning in-depth theory later on your own, but when you look at these numbers down the side, zero, that's your loudest. And then when you go just under that, you've got -1, -2, -3, and that starts creeping down, getting quieter and quieter. Now, most spoken word podcasts, and in fact most podcasts full stop, will sort of mix down to -1 or -2. That's where they're sort of peaking at. And when you're recording audio, the big problem is they talk about the point where you're peaking, but you could be peaking at -1 or 0, but some of the quieter parts, they might be down, you know, -20, things like that. So it's always confusing when people say to you, you should be looking to record at -6, and you're thinking, well, I've got quiet bits, I've got loud bits. So, you know, does -6 mean I'm peaking at -6? Does -6 mean that's the lowest point? And I think that confuses people when they're starting out, doesn't it, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. And as I say, I'd always wanted to push to record things at the loudest possible. And you're just not leaving yourself enough room for when somebody yells or something, and then you end up peaking. So it's all about giving yourself that sort of middle ground, isn't it? So you've got flexibility, not too quiet, but you can go loud without you know, going beyond the limits of the DAW.
Yeah, that's it. They talk about giving yourself headroom. And that's why, I mean, I was talking about the figure -6 there. I find -6 is a good, that's a good number to be peaking at. Obviously, you're going to have a lot of audio that's quieter than that. But I find if you're peaking at -6 or just above that, that's going to give you a lot of headroom to work with when you come to bringing all your audio in and working with it. Now, the problem with this, of course, is that many of us do a remotely recorded show, so you're not actually in control of your actor's recording setup. So, you know, you get files in that are very, very loud, you get files in that are very, very quiet. The problem is, when you sit down and you try and make all these files sound basically like they were recorded in the same place, If you have one that's very loud, you'd probably want to reduce the volume of that to bring it into proportion with the rest. So you'd bring it down till it was maybe peaking, you know, minus 6, minus 5. You could have a very, very quietly recorded file. The problem with amplifying these files is you're also bringing up not just the dialogue, but all the background noise. So you could end up with, you know, a very sort of hissy file, you know, this background hiss underneath it. So every time that block of dialogue gets hit when you're playing through on your DAW, you suddenly just hear this big hiss under these pieces of dialogue. Noise reduction's obviously very good for minimising that, but noise reduction done the wrong way can, you know, give you that unwanted underwater effect, can't it?
Yeah, you've got to be careful when you're later on bringing up the volume of certain specific files, you're dragging everything up. And it's the electrical hum as well. It's not just the background. So I don't think you can just turn off the lights and turn off the refrigerator or whatever. There is always an electrical hum that's created just by the fact that you're using recording equipment. So that's something else to watch out for as well.
So some of the wee tips for sort of minimising that, what we've done in the past, we've just left a recorder or a Zoom or a mic. We've left that recording in a room that's completely quiet, just recorded some room tone. And you can amplify that room tone or reduce the volume in it. You could basically put it there, even though you would listen to that and you might make it quite loud. You might think that that's quite a hiss going on in this room tone. When that's constant, it's not actually noticeable. So once you've layered over with all your sound effects and your music and things like that, people really won't notice it. I've heard some excellent top of the range audio dramas where when you bump the volume up quite a bit, there is quite a, you know, a serious hiss going on, but you just don't notice it because it's not creeping in and out as it would be if you didn't have any room tone and you've got these certain pieces of dialogue that do.
Yeah, you tune it out, and that's the thing. You don't notice it until it stops, and then suddenly you think, oh, yeah, it's like somebody's turned a light switch off sort of thing. And it's a very useful thing to have, and it keeps the whole scene uniform so that if you're going into one piece of dialogue that was recorded in San Francisco, then to another piece of dialogue that was recorded in Poland, they're all made one by this constant ambient room tone. It's the bread and butter of what we do, I would say.
And another great tip for this as well is when you've got these little blocks or segments of dialogue that have a lot of hiss in them, instead of just letting them, you know, kick in, I'm trying to think how to describe it, you know, just as it's sitting there, if you fade in each clip, you know, put a little fade in on each clip as it starts, it'll be a lot less noticeable because it's, you know, it's gradually creeping into that clip rather than just hitting, it's like hitting a wall and suddenly you've just got this clip kicking in like
turning a hairdryer on.
Yeah, and you hear that in a lot of audio dramas as well, a lot of remotely recorded audio dramas where there's just these big blocks, these big segments of audio, and they're kicking in and out, and it's so obvious.
Yeah.
And, you know, even really, really good productions, it can spoil it for you. Once you tune into it as a listener, you're listening out for it all the time, aren't you?
And it doesn't just have to be a room tone like you're just in a room with a fridge or something. It could even be background machinery. It could be like this motorway that's near us, and you'd maybe start it off at minus 15, quite loud, but then you gradually just dip it down as people start to talk, and have it very minimal so that you're probably still aware of it, but it's nowhere near obtrusive. But it was there at the beginning to set the scene, and then you dip it right down to minus 22 or something. So that's another thing. And it doesn't have to just be the sound of an empty room. It can actually be something that's going in the background. It could be a fairground or something. Anything. Anything that's more or less constant throughout with a few variations maybe, just to really unify the scene, as I say.
Another thing to think about as well, I've spoke about, you know, you could be peaking at quite a loud volume and the rest of your audio could be really quiet. So depending on what editing software, what DAW you use, pretty much all of them have got the capability to limit the audio. You'll see an option usually in effects for something like a hard limiter. And to put it really simply, it's basically like giving your waveform a haircut. You look at the waveform visually, it's got all the spikes on it, and when you look at the minus 1, minus 2, minus 3 decibels down the right-hand side, you could create a ceiling, basically. So you could say, I don't want this audio to peak over -2, I don't want it to peak over -3, and so on. So you can cut off that spike, and you can use the limiter again. And I would encourage you to, depending on what DAW you use, get on YouTube and look at a tutorial for that DAW on how to limit your audio if you've not done it before, because not only can you cut those spikes off, there's also the capability to bring the quieter stuff up a bit, bring it all closer together, because the most important thing in your audio drama in relation to volume isn't how loud or quiet the whole thing is, it's the level of volumes in relation to each other. So your quietest sounds and your loudest sounds, although one could be the biggest explosion on earth and the other could be two characters whispering, they have to actually be fairly close together, because you don't want your listener going up and down on the volume. They should never have to touch the volume button when they're listening to your show.
And what you were saying there, that's very different from acting like a steel press where you're pushing everything down. You might have one tiny little spike that's at zero decibels, and it might just be like a sudden, hey! And if you then have to press down starting from there, but pushing everything down, then it just makes it a mess. You're talking about absolutely just cutting the top of Mount Everest and leaving alone absolutely everything else, which was nowhere near it, right?
Yeah, yeah. This technique can cause, you know, minimal distortion. Again, it's like everything else in audio. These wee techniques, normalisation, well, not necessarily normalisation, but hard limiting, noise reduction and things like that, it's kind of an art. You kind of have to master it. It's almost like you have to caress it, you know. Mm. It's like magic and fantasy, you know. It's always got to be used carefully.
Subtly.
Never rely on things like this. You should always be looking to record the best possible source audio. Never ever record something with a view of thinking, well, we'll just fix it in post-production, because that actually makes it pretty difficult for yourself. It leaves you a lot of work to do.
Yeah, that's electrical work as opposed to, you know, you doing the right thing with the tools at the time.
Another good thing to think about when you're recording, and if you've got a scene where two characters are going to be talking quite quietly or even whispering, and then maybe something breaks out, a fight breaks out, and suddenly there's a lot of shouting, have a think about the possibility, if you've got this luxury of having two different microphones, one of them set at a very low gain and one of them set at a normal gain, and the one with a low gain could pick up all the shouting without it peaking, whereas the other one could pick up the, you know, the very quiet dialogue, the whispering, things like that. The reason for this really is because if you're in the middle of a scene, and especially if you've got the luxury of having two actors acting together, you don't want to break up a scene in the middle of it from a performance point of view. Two actors are getting really into it, you know, they're feeling the scene, they're in there. Suddenly you're stepping in and saying, if I could just stop you there before you start fighting, because I need to turn the gain down. Mm. And the other reason for that is when you're doing your noise reduction, you're going to want to take a sample of silence, a sample of background noise, to make the noise reduction work, basically, to tell it the frequencies that you want it to minimise or take out.
Yeah.
If you're turning the gain in the middle of the recording, that actually is going to mess it up, because the frequencies you're telling it to take out, you know, what the frequencies are going to change when you mess with the gain. So
that's,
you don't really want to be doing that. You want to have your gain set and try and not touch it.
Yeah, because you're not just recording the voices, you're recording everything, remember, including all those electrical hums in the background. If suddenly it goes, because you've turned the gain up, you're going to have a lot of problems there. So that's a good one. And another thing is, as well, if you're going to have a fight that starts off and you're going to want that fight to be loud, it might be worth having characters away from the fight, but then sort of join the area, so it's like quiet a little bit in the background, and they're getting noisy, and then eventually this the mind's eye camera goes towards the fight and it gets louder and louder, rather than it starting off really, really abruptly loud. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and then when you're looking towards when you've mixed your drama down or your scene down, depending on how you work with your mix downs, you're going to have to look along the waveform and see, you know, are some of the peaks much, much higher than the rest? You need to use your hard limiter again just to bring that a bit closer together. And then you really want to normalise the show. You want to pick something like maybe -3, -2, and normalise your your finished waveform to get it quite consistent. Like I say, the listener shouldn't have to be touching the volume when they're consuming your show. And it's really important, I think, once you've mixed your show down, you've got this provisional, so-called final mix, stick it on your phone and go out for a walk with your earbuds in, because I don't know if you find this, Robert, but see, when I edit, I use like a really good set of Audio Technica headphones, and you know, they're over-ear headphones, and often I think that when I'm listening through there, the background noise can be quite loud. And I almost think, well, the dialogue's getting drowned out in background noise. So I'm always tempted to bump up the volume of the dialogue and reduce the volume of the background noise. And that to me, in the Audio Technica headphones, sounds right. But when I listen through the laptop speakers, which you really have to do, because some people unfortunately will do that, mm-hmm. when I listen through earbuds, I play it through the car, and I noticed that the dialogues remained really loud, but the background noise has almost disappeared. And it just comes down to, like, no one's really, unfortunately, going to consume your drama on really good headphones. So although you could be happy with the sound in these great headphones, it's probably not how it's going to sound to most people.
No, the majority of people have in-earbuds. What do you call them? Earbud headphones.
Yeah.
That's what I listen to most of the time. I've got on my list, my Christmas list, Audio Technica headphones, but I don't have them at the moment. And it's more convenient for me to have the earbud ones in my pocket as I go here, there and everywhere. Or people are listening in their cars and so on. Yeah, I would say most people listen on inferior headphones, inferior to the over-the-ear ones, which obviously are the top-notch ones if you have the right ones. So it's difficult, isn't it? Because they get rid of all the sort of lower frequencies and you stick with the higher ones, which is why dialogue will stick out more often and because it's louder. It's a shame because I know of several audio dramas that are made specifically for the best headphones that you can have, and you'll lose a lot of stuff by listening to it in the car. But what if that's your only time to listen?
One of the sort of final things to consider is, and we stress this a lot, listen to your show with your ears, not your eyes, because we get so used to sitting in front of the computer and looking at this all visually, which is important. But remember that the waveform you see on the screen, treat it as a guide, it's not gospel. The important thing, it is audio drama, so the important thing really is to get out there and listen to your show. Either close your eyes when you're sitting at the computer, or get away from the computer, get it on your phone, like I said, get out for a walk and have a listen there. The worst thing you could do is, because when you're sitting there, you are listening with your eyes, you're watching the audio play, you're seeing it hitting certain waveforms, and
you're telling yourself what to expect.
Yeah, you're seeing it hit a sound effect, and you know to listen out for that effect. And oftentimes, that, you know, seems perfect, but when you take your show out and go for a walk, suddenly you find one of them quite jarring and you think, wait a minute, that doesn't quite sound right. You go back to the computer and you make the necessary adjustments. So, you know, your ears are the big priority here. I can't stress that enough. Your waveform is a guide, a great guide, but it's just a guide.
And it's the same for script readers and writers and editors as well. It's something I've learned recently, is that, say you've watched a film like, in my case, Alien and Pulp Fiction, and I've gone back since to read the screenplays and the scripts, and I think, yeah, oh, that's great, this is great, and that's great, because I know what I'm seeing. I'm reading it, and I'm also watching the film in my mind. But you try then going and reading a script, like we've done voices for different things out there, not just our own stuff, and reading the script and more or less being able to imagine what's going to happen, and then hearing it, and you think, wow, okay, that's some cases better than I expected, you know. So you just don't know. So stick with one thing, observe it, or listen to it, or whatever. Don't do two things at once, because one part of your brain will override the other, basically.
So there you are then. That's a wee crash course, if you like, on some thoughts on volumes and dialogue and things like that, sound levels. As always, we'd love to hear from you. What are your own experiences? What problems have you encountered when you're setting levels on your show, when you're getting all these files in? Is there anything we really weren't clear on there, and anything that you feel we should expand on?
And one thing I'd say as well is that we've learned these things over a number of years. So if there's anything that we've talked about and you think, oh, which one's which there again? Which one's normalization? Which one's tube compression or hard limiting? By all means, get in touch. There are many ways to do so.
Absolutely. So you'll get us on the website, audiodramaproduction.com, and the email address, which is podcast@audiodramaproduction.com. Robert, anything to add? Are we going back to sun ourselves in this glorious day?
Yeah, drape ourselves over rocks like snakes and soak it up like the sun ray deprived Scots we are. I'm just back from London, actually. I had a couple of days down there and it was gloomy, a lot gloomier than this, and yet somehow warmer, which is unnerving. Yeah, I was walking around in shorts and t-shirts and there were old ladies in jumpers and coats, so I want to go and enjoy this now.
You are the tourist.
Yeah, I mean, this is September. I've always said, haven't I, that we have an Indian summer here, that it's warmer in September than it is the rest of the year. I don't know why. Maybe because we're closer to the North Pole or something and it's summer.
One final thing, actually. I've been meaning to say this for a few weeks.
Love me.
I was going to save that till we'd finished recording. If anyone's interested in actually doing some interviews for the show, you know, like I do, I think, all of the interviews, most of them, on Skype. I'm not very good at it, but, you know, options are limited. If anyone out there really wants to interview people for the show, get in touch, because I'm quite interested to see if we could get more people doing the interviews. It would take the pressure off a wee bit, and it would give a fresh perspective as well.
Yeah. We're always looking for topics as well, so if you've got something in mind that you want to bring up, then get on the old Skype and we'll talk.
And, you know, even stuff like if anyone wants to write some articles for the website as well, maybe there's a burning issue that you'd like to get off your chest.
Fan fiction.
Yeah.
Superhero films, have they had their day? The answer is yes. No, that's another issue. I think superhero films are going to go the way of the Western very soon. I know that because I read Steven Spielberg said it. So
good,
there you go.
Yeah. Good. Right, are we done then? So yeah, consider writing an article or two for the site. Consider becoming an interviewer for the show, and consider giving us a wee review on iTunes as well if you want. Seeing as we're at the ASCII,
consider yourself one of us, as they say in a certain musical.
Right, I think that'll do us. We'll be back next week with some sort of topic. So keep an eye out on the places what you see us.
Yeah, get in touch. Usual means, we are waiting for you. Love you. See you soon.
Hello. This message is for Robert and...
Matthew, sir.
Matthew. The American people want to let you guys know you're doing a bang-up job with the Audio Drama Production Podcast. Keep up the great work and handle it up.